Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we delve into a topic, emotional affairs. And we get a lot of people reaching out about this. And we talk about what is an emotional affair? How can you really find out? Are you having an emotional affair or is it just a friendship? And then from there, we talk about ways to prevent it, ways to heal from it. And we just give you a really in-depth understanding of this topic. So stay tuned. Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home, and it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson. If you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner, we know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're taking on a topic that we hear a lot about it through listener emails. We definitely see a ton of it at work.
The emotional affair dilemma.
Yeah.
How do you know if your partner is crossing the line? That is our topic today. First, I just want to say thank you, listeners, for writing in and giving us just so much content for our podcast and for reviewing us and rating us. Like, it means so much because we really are impacted in our own relationship by the work we do globally. And it just feels so good to hear amazing, wonderful things, and also to try to respond to some hard, difficult situations as well.
Absolutely. So if you haven't already, it would mean a ton to us if you would give us a rating, write us a review. It really it helps get the word out. And it, you know, because at the end of the day, one of the reasons Tara and I started this whole thing was that we know that relationship is sort of the building block of community. And so if we can help there be more and more happy, healthy relationships, and that means happy, healthy families, it means good work environments, it means healthy communities.
Okay, so going back to our topic, emotional affairs, it's a big one, and we're going to try to help you guys really understand like difference between friendship and emotional affair when it crosses the line. And we just know like we're humans. We want to feel needed and loved and belonging. So there's no judgment out there for people who have had to navigate emotional affairs in their relationship. It takes skills to prioritize your primary partner. And so just know when, if you are someone out there listening that either your partner has had an emotional affair or you yourself have, it's because we just want to feel needed and loved and belonging and special.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to do first sort of addresses one of the main questions that we oftentimes get, which is like, hey, this is happening. My partner is doing this, this, and this with this person. Is this an emotional affair, right? And I think like one of the hard parts about defining is like when somebody crosses the fidelity boundary around physicality, when they have sex with another person, when they kiss another person, it's clear. It's like crystal clear. That is an agreed.
Yeah.
Most people have
boundaries
that agreement that is a huge boundary. But emotional affairs are common, and they're also a little bit like, hey, is this an okay thing? Is this not an okay thing? And I think first Tara's going to hit us with a statistic which says like just how many couples are affected by this.
Well, so first of all, 80% of physical affairs start with emotional affairs.
Of course, that makes sense.
So helping everybody understand what are the signs that it might be happening. 45% of men have admitted to having some type of emotional affair in their relationship, and 35% of women. So this is like a high percentage. Again, that doesn't mean that we're bad people. It means we have the sense of belonging. We need to feel needed and loved. And maybe there's some unmet needs that we'll go through later on in the podcast around why emotional affairs happen. But the first part is we're going to help you break it down and define it as much as we can.
And I think because that when you cross that physical boundary, it's like, you know, you've gone to DEFCON 5, right? right? Is that if we can really help you define, like, what is an emotional affair? What are the ways in which you might be edging towards that? We can, even though that's, you know, that's tough to heal from as well, an emotional affair, but maybe we can stop people from getting too far into it. And maybe you could avoid, you're like, oh, like I could, this is starting to feel like an emotional affair. I can pull back. Maybe I could even talk to my partner about it.
So let's go through. Let's talk about emotional intimacy versus friendships. And the first piece is that emotional intensity. So with friendships, you care, but you're remaining balanced with other relationships. There's not this emotional intensity to it.
Yeah. And if the emotional intensity in relation to an emotional affair is that you're beginning to develop a deeper, like, emotional reliance, right? That I, on some ways, our partner should be that person that we want to go to, that we want to talk to, that we need support. And if you're beginning to have emotions towards a person other than your partner where you feel that you are emotionally reliant upon them, there's a good chance this is moving towards an emotional affair.
Yeah. So, and the second one is transparency, right? With friendship, you feel totally comfortable sharing the details and things of your friendship with your partner. Right? There's full transparency, like, oh, my friends are doing this and we're doing this and this is what they talked about, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Whereas if you are edging into the emotional affair or you're fully in that, there you're beginning to maybe keep the conversation secret. You know, maybe you tell your partner that you talked to this person, but you don't tell them that you opened up about maybe aspects of your relationship with them, maybe things that are that you're struggling with. The other one, and this is a key one, is if maybe you're not telling your partner that about that you met up with them. Maybe you're not telling them, oh, you went to lunch and it wasn't just a group of you, it was the two of you. You know, that you're keeping conversations or meetups secret from your partner.
It is not fully transparent.
100%.
The third, the prioritization of the relationship, right? So in friendships, we value our relationship, but it does not take precedent over our primary relationship, our partner.
Yeah. Whereas in an emotional affair, you might start choosing that person over your partner.
Yeah.
You might make extra time, maybe you stay at work a little bit longer, your partner's at home, you could go do something with them, you stay at work and you have a longer conversation. You know, you're taking time out of what could go towards your partner and you're placing it towards another individual.
And I also know with emotional affairs, you're confiding in this other person first before your partner.
That's a
big one. So your prioritization of that.
Yeah, like that the first person you're like, something good happens or something bad happens, and the first person you want to talk to isn't your partner, it's the other person.
Okay, next one, boundary.
This is a big one, right?
This is a big one, but it is. It's boundary crossing, right? With friendship, it never encroaches into this like romantic sexual thing. It just, it's neutral. It just doesn't go there.
Yeah.
Versus
an emotional affair where you begin to share more and more like intimate details of your life that you're also, it starts to encroach where moments have that little bit of a twinge of romance. Maybe the boundary is like, that, you know, this is sort of a brain chemistry thing, but you're getting that just sparkly feeling. Like whenever you're around them, there's just an excitement. And that's a subtle boundary, but it's such an important boundary because those are the type of feelings that you want to generate with your partner that aren't easy to generate after 5, 10, 15 years. And if you're beginning to cross that boundary and share intimate details, and maybe even just like, you know, a hand on the forearm or something, you're beginning to cross emotional and physical boundaries in subtle ways that might make you feel that excitement.
We've also heard from couples that we've worked with that they will fantasize about this person during intercourse with their primary partner.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Oh, it's just like a little red flag.
Yeah. And even a step back from the fantasizing is just you find yourself thinking about that person a lot, you know, that you're in your weekend and you're not at, you know, a lot of emotional affairs do happen in the work environment, mm-hmm. and it's your weekend and you're just thinking like, oh, I just can't wait to see so-and-so on Tuesday. Like,
I know,
you know, that's crossing a boundary. You're giving a part of yourself away to another person.
I'm just like in my head thinking, God, but it has to be so hard because like, let's just say you've been in this relationship where your needs haven't been met. And I know we're going to go through this. And then you're just like excited. You kind of feel excitement for the first time. Like, I totally get how easy it could be to just like blur that boundary, you know, but it's always important to have clarity first in the primary. That's what our role is, right? As therapists and what the work we do with couples.
Well, and I think one of the dangerous things about emotional affairs versus physical affairs is that they sort of have this way of gradating. Like, you're just, it's just this slow movement. You're just showing, talking about a few more intimate things. You're just a little more excited. You just go to that person a little more than you did before, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is where the next one pops in.
Yeah, the final one we'll talk about is just like guilt or justification. So in a friendship, there's no need to justify. It just feels natural. It's appropriate. It's organic.
Any conversation you have with them and you tell your partner, you don't feel weird about it because you know, like, yeah, they're just a friend. Yeah. Like, it's just, I have no reason to have to justify or rationalize that conversation.
Versus
in an emotional affair, you start thinking things like, oh, you know, my partner just wouldn't understand, or yeah, we're just close friends, right? It's like you're finding, you know, you're like a little internal lawyer about justifying why that relationship is okay.
Yeah, you're rationalizing
when sort of like inside your heart, you're like, you know, I know this isn't exactly right.
Well, and a quote would be that you're telling your partner, you wouldn't just understand we're close friends, but you're also feeling like guilt or excitement, right, in your own personal experience. Yeah. So there's that justification, rationalization piece.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like, I hope everyone has a better idea of friendship versus emotional affairs.
Yeah, and I really want to go back because that's the main questions we get, whether it's the person who feels like their partner's having an emotional affair or they think like, am I having an emotional affair? So, you know, we gave you a really clear criteria. One is like emotional intensity of the relationship, your willingness to be transparent about when you're seeing them and what you're talking mm-hmm. about. That you're the prioritization of that relationship. Are you placing them ahead of your partner? The next is like, are you beginning to cross boundaries? Is there a sense of like, I'm just stepping closer and closer. Oh, I'm over the line. I'm back. And then the last was, do you feel some sense of guilt? Do you feel like you have to justify not just to your partner? Sometimes it's to friends where your friend's like, what's going on with you and so-and-so? And you're like, oh, nothing, you know? So, you know, those are five good criteria that you can ask yourself or you and your partner can talk about in determining like, is this a friendship or is this an emotional affair?
And just to share, because we've worked with a lot of couples who have infidelity, physical and emotional, and emotional affairs are just as damaging as physical affairs. It breaks trust. There's that secrecy. You're prioritizing someone else other than your partner. You're bringing a third into your relationship. That's Dr. Stan Tatkin. Yeah. I think bringing thirds is just so toxic for your relationship. And so, again, the more we can help listeners understand, process what might be happening, to have conversations first with your partner, that is the idea for this.
Well, and I think it's so important to say that, yes, it can be just as damaging. And that's why if you're in that phase of guilt or justification, that you want to be able to pull back as early as possible and look at it and be like, oh, man, I could be really be gnawing away at the sort of like foundation of my relationship.
So some examples, right? Real life examples. We've heard them. We might have friends. We might have engaged them in ourselves. But reconnecting with exes, especially on social media.
Yeah, reconnecting with exes, I think, is a big one you hear about.
Oh, yeah. It's like that blast from the past, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, old friends, too, like an old friend from high school, old friend from college, those kind of rekindling of people that you had strong relationships with.
Yeah, and it just brings this excitement. Workplace relationships, right? It's just you're spending time with this other person for at least 8 hours a day in the workplace, and you're away from your partner, like a lot of things could happen. And then the online, right? Online relationships, whether it's like video gaming or you're on some kind of online group chat, meetup group. Again, we see online affairs happening all of the time, and they've never even met face to face.
And another one is just like, you know, sometimes partners have different interests. One person is into, you know, plays soccer, and the other person is does painting. And so it's like somebody in one of those groups that you just start getting a little bit closer to, to, like special interest areas is definitely another area I've seen it.
Good thinking.
I like it.
So before we go into why, we're going to just do warning signs, right? I'm sure there's many more than this, but warning signs of emotional affairs happening. So there's increased secrecy in the relationship. One partner might become more emotionally independent. The other partner might feel very deprioritized.
Yeah. And the secrecy thing, like that can look like all of a sudden you don't want your partner to look at your phone.
Yeah.
You're changing your password.
You're keeping it close to you if there's a ding.
Yeah, absolutely. So secrecy can be about sharing information, but it can also be about like sort of like feeling like the way, you know, walking out of the room when you talk to that person.
Oh, another one is like comparing this person to your partner. It's like, gosh, they're such better listeners than my partner. Like, right, that comparison piece starts to get really big.
Yeah. Well, and that can also then lead to one person feeling like really deprioritized, and one person's like, wow, it's like it almost feels like you'd rather be out to lunch with your work colleague, or you'd rather be out to lunch with this person than hanging with me. You'd rather be Facebook chatting with this person instead of like us watching a movie together on Friday night.
Which goes into another warning sign, like the denial of the importance that this other relationship is having on your relationship.
Yeah.
And then finally, just like sharing personal and emotional details with someone other than your partner that hasn't been talked about yet with your partner.
Yeah, I think that's like a huge like self-check you can do if you have some friend that you're like, gosh, am I developing a deeper emotional connection with this? Is when you're just opening up about things that you don't open up to other people about. You don't open up to your friends about. You know, I think that's a really good self-check to make.
Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this. Okay, so let's get into why.
All right. Let's flip the board around. So we've taken a little bit of a dive into how to sort of create a way to look at, like, is this an emotional affair? Is it a friendship? So a way to sort of like answer that question, like, are boundaries being crossed? Mm. We gave some warning signs. And we also talked about how emotional affairs can be just as damaging to a relationship as physical affairs. So the next one, we want to get into the, like, let's understand, like, why this happens. I mean, as Tara said, you know, 45% of men, 35% of women say at some point they feel like they've had an emotional affair. It's important for us to also look at, like, why do emotional affairs happen?
Well, there's many reasons why.
Let's tell us, Tara.
And just to, like, in my own personal experience, obviously before I matured and knew all my stuff, like, I've definitely had emotional affairs in past relationships. And it was that whole idea of unmet needs, right? I had unmet needs that, of course, I couldn't communicate with my partner because I didn't know how to communicate my needs. So I just figured, like, oh, this other person's like meeting this need so much better. Yeah. And so, like, right, that instant gratification of someone else making me feel more important. But I never gave my partner the chance to let them know what my unmet needs were because I just figured right back in the day, like, my partner should just know how to meet my needs, right? Yeah. Faulty thinking. We have many podcasts on that.
Well, and then I can flip to the other side of it is that if you have a partner who can be less emotionally available, less willing to be vulnerable, then the other partner could get to the point where they feel disconnected and they crave that deeper connection. And so it can be, and those kind of go hand in hand, right? Is like you are on probably more of the side of somebody who has needs and when they don't get met, doesn't know what to ask for them. I could have been more on the side where I'm maybe not showing up in an emotionally present way enough for my partner.
Yeah. So unmet needs, avoidance of vulnerability, or just avoidance with your partner. This is a big one. Lack of intimacy or excitement with your partner. Like we grow bored of each other, my goodness. Life gets in the way, kids. We're like working from 9 to 9 and it's like we don't prioritize our relationship. So there's that like lack of excitement that was there in the beginning and this, you know, your life kind of takes like, this is what we're doing. It's very, what's the word, repetitive.
Yeah. Well, and there can be, you know, some of these things are like really insidious because they're not, you know, there are certain like, there are certain things that like with you and your partner that you're just like, you guys aren't on top of it. And you just need that. You need to kind of clean up your habits and you need to make each other a priority. But then there's things that are just like built into long-term relationship that the excitement of connecting with somebody new can be extremely alluring when like you've been together with somebody for 10 years.
I think of new car. Like I get the new car and it smells so good and it's new and it's shiny. And then like, you know, a couple years later, I'm like, and then you like want a new car because you want that. I feel like that feeling of it. It's like, it's so like, it's new and it brings a sense of excitement.
It's so funny because like, so we went through this whole thing with your car, like what, like 6 months ago where Tara keeps her car in like impeccable. Like it looks like a new car and she's had it for years, right? And we went through like, hey, do we buy it or do we re-up? And I could see you struggling with like, because we'd get into one of those new cars and you'd be like, I want to have an emotional affair with this car. Holy God.
I do. It'll last a couple of years. So that lack of intimacy or excitement. Another one is just seeking validation outside of the relationship, especially if you're having unmet needs. When someone else outside of your relationship is like, dang, you look good. Oh my God, I love the way that you do this. Like people are just noticing you. That feels so validating. And you're like, and then it's so easy to come up with that story like my partner doesn't do that for me.
Oh, and it's because subtle.
Yeah. It is.
It's so subtle because like literally another person just taking interest in you can just like create like that excitement, you know?
And brain chemistry, which
is like somebody that's
outside of our control.
Looks at you because it's not always you going out and being like, I'm going to go out and find somebody to have an emotional affair with. It's somebody else that sees something wonderful in you and then starts, you know, sort of sending out their emotional tendrils and you're like, oh, that feels good.
Yeah. I hope like as you're listening to this, people who have emotional affairs, it's not like I am going to wreck my partner and I'm going to have an emotional affair. It is coming from wounded, and we've seen this across the board for over a decade. It's coming from very wounded spots. And usually that growth and maturity development hasn't happened around, and the skills aren't there, right? We don't have the skills. And so just know if you're listening to this, like nobody's a bad person for having this, right? Another one that I've seen is like, poor boundaries in the relationship from the get-go.
Yeah.
Which automatically, like how many times, EJ, have I've had a couple like, oh, well, our social media, we were doing this and like, it was okay that he liked pictures of these cute girls, but now we're married. And I'm like, well, did you guys ever make this agreement that like, that he would stop liking pictures of cute women? Like, no, but that was supposed to just happen. Like, there's no agreements because there were no boundaries. And again, that's not your fault. We learn boundaries from our childhood, our environment.
I mean, this is an interesting one, like, because sometimes we talk about things that we struggled with. And then sometimes I'm like, well, we did a few things right. And like, I remember early on in our relationship, like we set some boundaries around that.
Yeah.
Whereas that really like, then I think we established that that's not okay. way, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of people, especially people who, younger people, I think, who are very plugged into social media. I think that that's hard because, you know, it's almost like the porousness of relationships in that venue, like, then spreads into the relationship. So this is a next one that I think is actually, like, people don't realize how much this can contribute to emotional affairs. And that is a couple who's avoidant of dealing with things.
Yeah.
That if you don't deal with the difficult things, it ultimately creates a relationship where you're disconnected and you're not emotionally available to one another.
And just to piggyback on that, avoiding issues in the relationship might be due to a lack of emotional safety in the relationship. Maybe you've never felt emotionally safe in a relationship, or maybe you just have decreased emotional safety because of repetitive communication patterns and having difficulty navigating conflict, which again is all skills-based. So when you don't have emotional safety in the relationship and you can't feel free to be you, but someone else out there is like, you can be you and I love you, it's so easy. Yeah. It's like a carrot and you haven't had a piece of food in 30 days and you're a rabbit. Like, that's like, I'm going to eat that carrot. I'm going to chomp on that.
So I think this is a great one just to reflect back on, because what we're talking about here is, like, if you're listening to this, you can take this information and be preventative, because there might not be any emotional affairs yet. But if you think about, wow, are there unmet emotional needs in our relationship? Mm-hmm. Are we avoiding vulnerability? Is there a lack of intimacy or excitement? Is there emotional safety issues? You can address those things now. We have other episodes. Just do a search for emotional safety or intimacy in our podcast episodes. And you can address these things before it gets to the point of an emotional affair.
Well, especially too, because there's so many ways to get our emotional needs met outside of our relationship now, with all of the access we have to everything, right? Workplace, social media, online. So, like, it's just important to really understand how easy it would be to cross that boundary.
Yeah. So now we're taking the step into, what do you do if you suspect that maybe you're suspecting yourself? Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I'm beginning to move into the area of having an emotional affair. What do I do if I'm concerned that my partner is having an emotional affair?
I mean, this is like, like, I feel like this would be so much easier said than done, but like having this non-accusatory conversation with your partner, like, hey, I'm going to just give a quick example. Like, hey, EJ, my story is that something might be happening in our relationship. Maybe there's somebody else that you might be connecting with. I'm starting to feel this nervousness. Mm-hmm. It's non-accusatory. I'm making it about my story is all Brené Brown, right? My story is. And then however you respond. But I feel like that's a really soft way to open it up, because that's the first piece. Like, there's not, you can't come with blame or assumptions, because that's not going to work. That's just going to create defensiveness in the other person and like keep it way more secret. And now they're just going to, you know. So non-accusatory conversation is obviously the first step. Not going through phone and trying to find evidence. It's like, this is your person. You're two adults. You can do this. I have to share something that has been on my mind.
Because I value our relationship and I want it to be sturdy and I want it to last forever. I like this next one because it can be about what to do if you suspect it, but it can also be a way to sort of like prevent having an emotional affair. And that's setting boundaries, you know, and by doing so, building or rebuilding the trust that we know where the lines are. And so, and the boundaries are the ones we talked about. Like, we don't open up to other people about intimate stuff unless we have, you know, sort of each other's permission, that we're transparent about when we meet other people, that we don't hide things from one another.
Yeah. Again, it's just so hard because people don't have those skills to do that. But the more you can, right, even if you're recovering from it, setting boundaries is one of the first things. Like, if we have a couple in our office and emotional affair is happening, one of the first things is like, okay, are you willing to stop this emotional affair right now? Because we can't do that work unless there's this boundary where your partner feels safe so we can do the healing work.
Yeah.
Right? Is there an agreement? And obviously, usually there is. And hopefully that person's being honest. Yeah. That's all we can hope for.
Well, and I think sometimes you just straight up need support.
Yeah.
You need to go to a relationship therapist. You need to go to a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to go to somebody who can help you guys facilitate this conversation. Because even that first thing of having an open, non-accusatory conversation about it, maybe you guys just don't have the skills for it. So you need to say like, hey, could we please, like, could we go see a couples counselor? We see somebody to help us like talk about this before it gets into a place where, you know, where it's going to be really hard to fix it.
This is what a lot of couples don't understand, because they come in, they're like, they did this to me. And it's trying to just make it the other person's fault. Like when you're in a relationship, you're in a system. Both people have to take accountability. Emotional affairs, infidelity doesn't happen in a secure functioning relationship where people are talking about what their needs are and what feels good and what doesn't feel good, and they're prioritizing their relationship. So there's a system issue, and I feel like both partners have to be willing to look at what the system, how it was functioning and the dysfunction of it, so that way they can heal together. It's not just about one person in the system. I mean, it might be in some cases, but for the majority.
Yeah. Here's another great piece of data. Another study is that 70% of couples who go to therapy because of an affair make it through it.
They do. Yeah. They make it through it. They heal. I bet. I don't think people realize it's that high, because I know for me, like in my mind, I'm like, if an affair happened, I'm done, right? Like that's like my hardcore boundary in my
boundary.
Head. It better not happen. No, I'm just kidding.
How about an emotional affair?
Then just we haven't been doing our job. So anyway, so now we're going into like just how to prevent emotional affairs from happening. Obviously, like if you can catch this early and start to have like emotional check-ins with your partner and talking about what your needs are and how you can prioritize each other, that's like ideal.
Yeah. I mean, if you can cultivate a relationship with your partner where you know you can go to them with your struggles and you can be vulnerable, then there's just less likelihood that you're going to even want to go to anybody else, because it's like, who needs them? That need is getting met.
Yeah. And if an emotional affair is not happening yet, but you're like, oh, we avoid conversations. Oh, we don't have healthy communication. Oh, I haven't expressed dissatisfaction to my partner. Oh, we have unmet needs and you're not talking about it. Clear sign. Maybe going to some couples coaching, counseling could be really helpful to prevent emotional affairs from
happening.
Maybe
use the Relationship Renovation at Home program with a link in our show notes, a good way for you and your partner to find a consistent way to connect over and over and over again, structured lessons, having conversations that you don't even think to have that are important to have, you know, finding a structured way like the Relationship Renovation at Home program to connect consistently with your partner.
So, if you are in a relationship and an emotional affair has happened, you might think it's happening, it's happened in the past, you're not bad. It's not bad. This is normal. We go through relationships not knowing how to communicate, build emotional safety. We don't learn how to be vulnerable. Maybe we've never had secure functioning ever, so we don't even know what that means. There is so much hope. I mean, 70% plus get through this and heal, and they become stronger together. We've seen it. We've experienced it. It's pretty freaking incredible. It just takes that beginning bravery, I'm going to call it.
Yeah. And having like this awareness. I mean, everything we talked about today is about awareness. It's about having a check-in system.
Yeah.
It's about like noticing, like, am I prioritizing this person? Am I being secretive? Am I justifying? But just having like an awareness around it, and then insight plus action equals results.
Yeah. And so just for me, my key takeaway is like, we're humans. We love to be loved. We love to feel needed. Try to get that first in the relationship you're in a healthy way. And then if you do that in the healthy way and your partner is like not able to, at least you're doing this out of clarity and you're not going down that other route of crossing boundaries and creating tension. And so give your partner a chance first.
Absolutely. So please, once again, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, info@relationshiprenovation.com. You have questions about this, you want to throw us deeper into this topic, I know we could do it. Yeah. So please reach out to us. Give us that like and review us on Apple or Spotify or in YouTube. Like, we really appreciate it. It's just validation that we're connecting with you all.
Yeah, and if, again, just share this episode if you know somebody that could really benefit from this. And again, thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?